Hello, everyone. Welcome to Deeper Conversations Coaching for Wednesday, class number 2 in our 8-week program, Deeper Conversations Coaching. Today is September. I always have to look at my calendar. September 21st. It's not December, it's September. And I'm so happy to see you here. I'm Julie Kazmariou, and we have Sterling with us, Dania, Lisa, and Deb. And I was suspecting that Anne wouldn't be with us, so I had mentioned that. She's in the recovery mode, so she is intending to and planning to be here with you on Monday. But she sends her regards, looks forward to meeting you, and we are wishing her well in the same time, same breath. So I'm here today with you, so delighted to be able to do that. And before we get into hearing from you a little bit, is there anybody who has the class agreements available and wants to read them?
I can do so.
Okay, thank you.
All right, number one, confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the class or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live conversations and listening to audios of the classes. Number two, positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Number three, we want to hold the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Number four, presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Number five, the beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Number six, self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. And number seven, coaching feedback. We agree that only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants.
Thank you, Sterling. Is everybody in agreement? Okay, great. Thank you. I just also want to offer this moment to sort of mark, like, leaving behind what came before this call, and then just marking this moment so that we can get into this call and be present. And so I'm just going to take a moment to offer a brief connection. And going forward, of course, we'll invite you to this experience as well if you want to lead the exercise. So just for today, I'm going to take us through that. So you can leave your cameras on or off. I'm just going to invite you to take a moment, if it's comfortable for you, to just tune out the distractions and tune in to yourself. I'll leave my video on, but you can do whatever you'd like. And so just inviting you into this moment to let go of anything that's not serving you in this moment and for this next 90 minutes together, or 85 minutes, however many minutes we have left. Just noticing your physiology, noticing what's present in you. Maybe you're noticing, oh, there's a little kink over there, or, oh, I didn't realize my back was this tight. That's what I'm noticing right now, just sharing that with you. And just bringing attention to the parts and pieces of you that are calling your attention. And then just inviting in some breath and some space internally. So breathing in through your nose and then exhaling out. And as you breathe in, just allow yourself to soften and accept the breath wherever it needs to go in your body, creating space, bringing awareness perhaps as you inhale and exhale, and just allow yourself to relax, letting any thoughts go by, and then coming back to the moment, coming back to your breath. Maybe there's an anchoring that you have noticed, maybe a spot that you notice the breath entering into your body or leaving your body, and maybe you want to focus your attention on that. Just inviting spaciousness, relaxing your shoulders, your jaw, your tongue, Relaxing your hips, legs, noticing your feet, maybe wiggling your toes, bringing attention to your toes, gratitude for the toes, the ankles, the heels that are yours, and just bringing your attention back to your breath and your body. What happens when we bring attention inwardly? What changes, if anything? So noticing your hands. When you're ready to come back to your call with your eyes open, I invite you to do so. And thank you for taking this time out for yourself. When you want to turn on the camera, you can do that. Thank you. Nice to see all of you. So I just want to invite you to, as we come into the room and become present, just to remind you today, we'll be going into a practicum. And so we've had the courageous and generous volunteers. Sterling will be the coach and Deb will be the, Sterling will be the client. I saw his face. What do you mean? Julie, you got that wrong. I so got that wrong, especially because Sterling is really excited to be coached today. So Sterling is the gracious client and Deb is the gracious coach. So we'll be moving into that. It'll be roughly around 25 to 30 minutes. Before we do that, I just want to invite you to share what you're bringing into the room today that shows up in your coaching quality, perhaps, that you notice in yourself that also shows up in your coaching.
I think I really reflected on the conversation that we had on Monday when it comes to cultivating trust and safety. And I keep on pondering a question that was in my head that I'm working through. And it's truly, we had started the conversation with how much do we reveal about ourselves as the coach with our clients? And I've spent a lot of time reflecting on that concept. And one of the things I've concluded in just that reflection has been that I can reflect and find times when I didn't share enough. It was very obvious, you know, with the client, it took a little bit longer for me to build the relationship with that individual. And then it was pretty easy also to find out when I shared too much, because then I found people in the conversations were wanting to ask more questions about me versus what the purpose of the engagement was. And the third thing I reflected on was when I knew and felt at least that it was right for myself and the client. And I'm still trying to put that into the balance of, you know, then how much of me did I share? What did I share? So that friendship, not friendship, that openness could occur, that to demonstrate and model that I'm willing to put myself out there in this conversation and this relationship and use it as an invitation for the client to follow suit. And whether that's right or wrong, I don't think it's either, but I just felt that it was just a really interesting reflection after our call on Monday. And to be honest, I hadn't thought about it until that point. So it'll be one of my new steps that I take.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. And maybe we can have time to open that up if there's more discussion. I also would love to hear from you and the others, just like, you know, a quality that you have in your coaching that you're also bringing today to the room with all of us. Do you want to share that, Sterling, or do you want a moment to think about it? I don't want to put you on the spot, but since you already have the mic on.
Yeah, I think that one of my qualities is I try to be an attentive listener. You know, I do my best to clear and flush my mind with anything other than the moment. And I feel that that's a skill set that I've had you know, that's benefited me throughout my career, not just as a coach, but that attentive mindset and that active listening. Mm.
Crucial. Thank you. I can feel that. And who else would like to share what they're bringing in today that shows up in their coaching?
I'll go next, and okay. Starling will be able to be the judge of this later. But I've been told by multiple people that I have a very calm demeanor, and that just allows people to feel really comfortable to open up. So just bringing kind of the even-keeled, calm, I'm always genuinely interested in what people have to say, but that approach into coaching.
Nice. Thank you, Deb. We look forward to being in that space.
Oh, I've set the bar high now.
We know that you will succeed.
So I can pipe in. Actually, the visualization meditation you did with us today had me focus. So I'll be 60 in October, and I don't bend like I used to in the middle. I got a bit of a belly there, and it took me to like the Buddha, the happy belly Buddha, which is the cutest little Buddha. So it got me thinking with the happy belly, and I think I do bring that kind of fun and lightness to my coaching to help kind of even off, connect, and just bring that lighter side to whatever we're discussing that nice. I think is present here today.
Awesome. Thank you. Who couldn't benefit from that, right? Thank you. And Dania? Wait, you're on mute.
Sorry. I think empathy, it's something that I think it's really important in the first step of a session.
Thank you. Yes, I think we can all agree with that. Are you also bringing the ocean with you to the call?
Sorry?
Are you also bringing the sea, the ocean?
No.
From where you are?
No, I mean Mediterranean Sea.
Mediterranean Sea. Just bringing in that flavor, you know, all the way here in North America. So thank you, Dania. Just to echo segue into something I wanted to bring up that Deb was mentioning, also had me reflect on like the coaching mindset, because that's one of the competencies that's been added. This is the new competencies, competency number two. So I don't know if you have your competencies handy, but we're not going to be spending time delving into embodies a coaching mindset, core competency number two, throughout this class. But, you know, Deb was talking about this calm, this way of being that she brings to her session. And so the definition of a coaching mindset is develops and maintains a mindset that is open, curious, flexible, and client-centered. And so I'm bringing that up because, you know, when we're looking at the PCC markers, so the markers, is everybody familiar with the markers? PCC markers. So these are it's a behavioral tool to help us indicate whether the competencies are being demonstrated at a PCC level. And if we look at the PCC markers in order to determine if a coaching mindset is present, you know, what's the evidence for a coaching mindset? Because coaching mindset is about ongoing learning and development. Does the coach have a reflective practice? And how do they prepare for the session? And of that, embedded in the markers for competency number two, there are various competencies. So not to get too focused and detailed, but there are parts of cultivating trust and safety that come into embodying a coaching mindset. And there are three markers from competency four or marker number four that are involved and embedded in coach and having a coaching mindset. And so it's allowing the client to feel safe and where they can express their feelings, and just want to reflect that it's part of trust and safety is having this mindset of being open, of being acknowledging of what we're seeing in the client. Like, I see that that was hard for you. I just want to acknowledge your courage. This is part of having a coaching mindset, but it's the trust and safety. It's a marker of competency number four. So I don't know if you don't need to have your markers handy. I think we've uploaded them on the resource page. In under competency number two, the following PCC markers are also looked for. So there's marker, so cultivating trust and safety. There's also coaching presence. There's active listening and evoking awareness, all that falls into coaching mindset. Today, we're just following up to what we talked about on Monday, which is cultivating trust and safety. And Sterling, you already brought up this point. I don't know if you wanted people to speak to that, that you were reflecting on, but I just want to give you all a moment to ask any questions, to bring your learning or insight or reflections from Monday into this class today before we get into the coaching practicum. Is there anything that, you know, you want to delve into, you have questions about, you've been reflecting on? Anything is welcome.
Well, I'll jump in because Sterling, as you were talking about the last session of how much do we bring into our sessions, I typically don't bring in much of anything. I think just general rapport, you know, has worked, you know, I'll share a little tip, you know, very little tidbit here or there. But I had a coaching session after, maybe it was yesterday. And I actually did share, you know, a story, and it felt weird. But I mean, yeah? I think it resonated and it hit, and I think it, you know, probably, you know, further built that trust. But, you know, I think I still have my initial ICF training kind of locked in my head of, you know, it's all about the client. And so we should be pretty agnostic. So, but I did find myself like having to then pull out of my story because I can sometimes be long-winded. So I think if I'm going to do it, I just need to be really concise, you know, get in, get out. But, so I'll end up asking the coach what they thought, because I've been coaching this guy for a while, but it kind of gave me the permission to try it. So I thank everybody for that.
Interesting. Taking that risk.
One of the things I recall from coaching training, just building on what you're saying, Deb, is asking permission, right, to share a personal story. And when I remember, most times I remember to do that, or if I'll say, oh, permission to share a story, or I can share a story, or kind of let them know ahead of time, so it keeps framing the role of me as a coach. But I'm saying, you know, I'm going to just sidestep here, similar to, oh, I'll put my old manager's hat on or something. So for me anyway, the purity of the coaching model, sometimes I take some liberties, but when I'm on the ball, I'll remember to frame it for the client. Mm-hmm. So they know what's happening.
Yeah. Thanks. Sterling, did you want to say something?
Yeah, that really makes sense. You know, and when I reflect back as well, when I said I was in my time, when I felt that I shared a little bit too much of my story, then the time that it took us to get back ate into that precious time that the client was needed. And what we were able to do was give the gift of time. So he was delayed. He didn't have a meeting afterwards. So we still got our hour of time that we planned together, but it ran into like an hour and 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then when we came back for our next conversation, it was an interesting, I think it was an affirmation and a watch out, because he said, I really appreciated the fact that you were so open and honest with your story. And he said, it's got me thinking. And so I took it that it's one of those tools that as a coach, I can pull out of my toolbox, but I have to be very selective with where I insert it.
Mm.
because that not in all cases could it be. And this guy again was somebody that, like Deb was sharing, I had many conversations with him up to that point. So I think it was an invitation or an acknowledgement from him that, you know, I'm in this conversation with you. So
mm-hmm. Nice. Human to human connection while maintaining the role.
You know, like most things in coaching, it's complicated, I find, because you're just getting me thinking, Sterling, that I remember this one chap that I coached not too long ago, who at the end, when he was giving me feedback for his coaching, he said, one of the things I really appreciated is that you shared of yourself and I was able to know you a little bit. And so I must have done that a bit more than I usually do with him. And it had me thinking, and it has me thinking now, because this particular chap was really high on empathy, really high on self-awareness, good with people. So in some ways, you have to kind of select your audience. Too much of that, and maybe I did too much, was not going to serve him, because he thrives on that. He would thrive on putting attention on the other people. And so in hindsight, that's not going to benefit him or someone else who maybe would profit from that connection. So I think really selecting, knowing your client and selecting how much to share, it's maybe more prescriptive, or there's maybe more of a formula to it than a spontaneity, realizing just now.
Nice. Appreciate the reflections. It's also what comes to mind is like being in service to the client is what I'm about to share. And can I know that, or is this an intuition or a sense that it would be helpful to help the client move forward, or to create this, you know, symbolism or metaphor or analogy or story that where they might find themselves and normalize the situation. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into that and taking that risk, perhaps, you know. And that partnership, right? There's this, what's being stressed in these competencies as well as the partnership. So there's no, like, I'm not ahead of you. I'm not bringing you along, but I'm right there with you. And so ensuring that there's no dependency being created, and, you know, if it's centering the coach and not the client, and it's just a lot of nuances, right? And like you're saying, Lisa, it's like knowing your audience, right?
You know, I sometimes think I had a therapist for a few years ago, and she brought me a lot of great things, but there was really a propensity to, sometimes really it seemed like it was more about her than it was about me, and it left me with kind of a funny feeling. I don't think she was aware, but so it was a good experiencing on my part.
Right. Yeah, it's good to experience the distinction and where it can go awry, perhaps.
Yeah, I remember sitting there and going, okay, are we going to wrap up your story and talk about me soon?
Yeah,
like it was,
right.
Yeah.
What not to do. We're all always learning, right? And she obviously felt and knew you were a good listener. So what coaches, they fall into that. So anything else come to mind or you feel like you want to share before we move into the coach-client dynamic? Okay, I had a thought that I wanted to share and then it escaped out the back door, never to be returned. So when Deb and Sterling are in coach client mode, the rest of us can turn off our videos and make sure we're on mute. I just want to invite us as well, the observers, to listen, choose something now that you want to be listening for. This could be like strictly something within the trust and safety competency. So you might want to look at one of the sub competencies and choose those, or whatever it is that you want there. And you can keep it to that, or if there's something that is strong in you that you're wanting to see reflected or notice it, then you can bring that up. You might just want to, again, not to confuse you or make it too complicated, but you might want to just look for acknowledging what you're seeing is evident in trust and safety. Also a reminder, and you know, we stated it and Sterling read it in the agreements, is the class agreements, is we're gonna, when we're reflecting back what we're hearing, we're looking for what's working well. We're acknowledging what the coach did well, the evidence that the competency was present. And so you can extract from the competencies themselves, or it's just, you know, I want to look for the way in this experience, Deb opened up the call and the agreements, you know, or how she ended the coaching call. So just, you can choose that, whatever you want from there. And I want to ask Deb what you would like us to be listening for that we can reflect back that we're seeing and hearing and noticing. Perhaps something you want to have strengthened, or you want to make sure you're doing okay with, or you just want generally some acknowledgement about.
All the above.
Yes, all the above.
You know, I guess the two things would be, again, we're focused on the trust and safety piece this week. So again, obviously, yeah, that's what we're doing. You know, along those lines, I think also just about the conciseness of questions. I think that's an area that I'm trying to work on more. Oftentimes my questions are very long-winded. So just trying to be a little bit more on point. And then I guess my only other question is, I'm in kind of a big room. If it's echoey, I can put on my headset. So I just wanted to see, Sterling, if you have if this is okay, or if you'd prefer to have my audio to be a little crisper, I can put on my headset.
This sounds good to me.
Okay.
Same question for you though. Can you hear me well also?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, great. And just something to unearth a little bit more, the conciseness of questions. Can you just say what it looks like? What would be the opposite of, you know, not the opposite, what would a concise question feel like? Like, how do you know that's showing up in your coaching?
I guess two things that, short.
Short? Okay.
There's one thought in there.
Okay, one thought.
Not a lot of qualifiers. And then a measurement piece is that the coachee is not asking me to, you know, restate the question.
Okay. Great. Okay, so we'll be listening for that. Anything else? Okay.
So, be kind.
Be kind, of course. So just to ensure that you know we're being kind, I'm going to set the intention for us to be kind. I mean, I think we can all, you know, attest to that. It's part of the agreements to be here to acknowledge. We're not here to be critical. We're here to give you, you know, a reflection of what we're seeing you do great and to learn from and learn with. And so may you feel that support as you're here with Sterling. I know that it could feel risky and vulnerable to be coaching in front of other people. So I just want to honor that. And may you feel the trust and safety of this group to do your work and have fun. And I'll invite you to keep track of time. If you could make it, you know, 25 to 28 minutes, however you want to, whatever.
Okay, so
and then we'll take a brief break and then we'll come back and unpack.
Okay, so just basically going almost until the top of the hour.
Not yeah.
Moving. Okay, perfect.
All right. So we'll see you on the other side.
All right. Okay. Everyone's windows are moving around on the screen here. So, all right, now it's just Sterling and me. This is great. Okay. So, I'm just going to hide my view. So now I'm just looking at you, Sterling. Okay. Hi, Sterling. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing very well, actually. Looking forward to today.
Oh, what is top of mind? What's exciting for today?
I'm in a space where I'm trying to figure out what my next chapter looks like. and regarding specifically on how I want to leverage my executive coaching. So, you know, the last sessions that I went through with this group, I had a really good journey that tracked me to retirement, helped me understand what I needed to do to be ready for them. And it was very interesting how all the things that the several coaching sessions that I played that of the client was very helpful in getting me to that space. And so what I'm looking forward to this round is to understand maybe what's next. And specifically today, what I'm trying to align for myself is where could I start this assessment of what is the next journey. I feel like I have popcorn going off in my head and I can't go and hit all of those things, but I just need to really focus on what does the role of executive coaching play in my next chapter. Make sense?
Absolutely. I think could be the poster boy for, you know, the excitement that comes from coaching and figuring out how it's going to, as you said, play in kind of your next evolution of your career. And so before we jump in fully, I just wanted to make sure, you know, you've had some other things going on today. Any need to do any additional or any desire to do any additional deep breathing before coming into today's session? Or are you ready and rearing to go?
I'm ready to go. I'm ready.
Awesome. And anything else that you needed to do to kind of clear your mind of anything that's kind of nagging at you or distracting you from being able to focus on yourself?
Actually, I turned off all the phones. I just left my last one on. I just realized I turned it off.
Love it.
Right before we started.
Super. And the other piece I just wanted to mention, everything that we talk about today is confidential. So really giving you the space to explore, discover, kick the tires. And so it's really your opportunity to, again, do that, go into that place of discovery. So, you know, you talked about, you know, trying to figure out, actually, let me just take a step back. Any other questions before we jump in?
Nope, I'm good.
Great. So you talked about really figuring out where or how executive coaching is going to play in this next evolution of your career. And for today, wanting to really understand, where should I start? In terms of where to start, what does that look like to you, just so that we have a good sense of where we're going today? In terms of where to start, are you looking for, what is it that you're looking for in terms of what that starting line looks like?
Maybe you said it a moment ago with kicking the tires. My goal has been that once I reach this point, that I would step into a pro bono kind of effort with my executive coaching. So it's not for me, it's not about making the money. Mm-hmm. Though that's nice. I'm not saying that it's not, but it's working with organizations that are philanthropies. So I've done work pro bono with several, you know, homeless shelters and different kind of, or actually not homeless shelters, but organizations that manage homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. So in that realm where they are executives who are in need of growth and discovery, but they don't have the funds necessary to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always been one of my thoughts. It could be with clergy or people of any kind of, you know, synagogue or, you know, whatever it would be that would be helpful, again, because of the constraints of finances, to be able to have that executive coaching service given. Mm-hmm. Without the cost of what it could be for businesses that don't make the money like that,
mm-hmm.
non-for-profit.
And so thinking about the experience that you've had and potentially what you're thinking of debt for the future, what's energizing for you about being able to provide coaching services for those organizations who don't have the budget?
Well, that's a great question. It's a great question, actually. It really is. I think because I know what they're trying to achieve, impacts the world in such, or people in such a way that that when they show up 100% and have this strong leadership capacity and capability, that it doesn't just impact them, but impacts the clients that they serve, and the wrong they're trying to right. Nobody should be homeless. Nobody should be, and people shouldn't have to be worried about where their meals are coming from. So I've worked with agencies that are, food store, food banks kind of thing, so it's seeing them at their, on their A game. No, I know that it's going to help somebody who's just down get that, maybe that beginning that's needed for them, the first thing that they're waiting on. I don't know if that makes sense. It did in my head.
Yeah, 100%. And what I'm hearing from you is the fact that these organizations are mission-driven. They're impacting individuals, they're impacting communities, they're impacting the world. With the organizations that you mentioned, there's a social justice bend to them. When you think of operating kind of in this space, what else comes up for you in terms of what excites you?
I think that when I work in this field, people are pretty focused on their mission, mm-hmm. and pretty connected to it. And what I find is that that as I've worked with those executives or those leaders that lead those organizations, they discover either additional ways to accomplish what they're trying to do, mm-hmm. or they also have identified, and that's interesting, they've also identified audiences that maybe they could impact that they haven't done.
Mm.
Out there that is waiting for that person to come along and shepherd them through the same thing. So their span of impact becomes greater than what they actually had done. For example, I was working with a homelessness or agency, and I was at the same time working with a free store food bank type operation. And what we realized together with this person that was leading this homelessness organization, that they have to work really hard to find those spaces or places where people can be fed. They know the drop-in kitchens and all of that, but there right truly down the street from them was the free store food bank, and they applauded each other for what each were doing, but they hadn't necessarily investigated how what they're doing could be together. And when I started talking with the individual, and he brought it up, I know so-and-so down the street, and I really haven't thought about how our missions might connect. He looked at it at first that they would collide, that it would be too much for one person, in need to handle. And then as he talked through out loud where that could lead, it led to a powerful moment for him. And to this day, the two of them, it's been, 6 years ago now, 5 years ago, their partnership has evolved. They're still doing what their mission was, but they're connected. And so when I see that, then even the impact of a silent minority or majority somewhere that's just asking for help and doesn't know how to ask gets what they need. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. It does. And again, so are you open if I share an observation with
you?
Sure. As you're talking about these organizations that you've worked with and that you potentially want to do some more work with, the energy in your voice and in your body language is just communicating that this is such, it's not just an area of, it's not just a place of passion, It's, you know, really feeling that you are fully in your groove. And so that's a little bit of what I was taking away, and just wanted to see kind of what your thought is about what I've just shared.
It's very true. I can feel it. I can feel my heart pumping in my throat. I can, you know, I can feel that. And yeah, that's what I'm feeling.
And noticing what's going on in your body, you know, is really so important. Again, you're at this amazing place in your life journey that you really can pick and choose what it is that you want to do, how you want to move forward. And so, you know, reconciling both your head and your heart, you know, you're at this wonderful sweet spot that you're able to do that. And as you're talking, you know, and again, thinking about, you know, filling your heart, this notion around purpose, meaning, use the words influence, connection, enhancing others. So all of that, you know, is really, you know, I'd say not only is it bubbling to the surface, but it's there and you've got the roots, you know, a little bit deeper there. So as you think about all of this, and then we started with, you know, you said that you wanted to understand, you know, your starting line. What is it that you are curious to figure out about what that starting line looks like?
I think that when I reflect on those situations, especially working with those agencies, I was working full time, you know, a 60-hour a week mm-hmm. job, and so it. Now that I have the freedom to do that, there are other things I still want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be a grandpa. You know, I'm going to get a new daughter-in-law. I have a great son-in-law. There's all these things that are in my world. My wife isn't retiring yet, so you know. I want to reconnect with families, and when I think about executive coaching and I reflect on those moments, it was really hard for me to balance all of that with my work commitment. Now my concern lies, you know, will it take away from those other things that I've been wanting to do at retirement? Because I think executive coaching. It takes time, and that's the kind of where my energy starts to deflate. Mm-hmm. It's like balancing that.
Yeah. And again, as you said, you've got a lot of things that you want to do. You're not looking to do a 60-hour week again or to continue doing that. So, and you may or may not have thought about this already. How much time would you like to be coaching?
Well, that's
each week.
That's a great question. Again, I hadn't thought about. I think that I would, my flexibility would be more in the middle of the week, like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. So, you know, leaving my weekends extra long would still mm-hmm. feel like I'm not rushing to get up on Monday morning, you know. That's a good question. I'm thinking just out loud more of, you know, 25 to 35% of my time in a given week, you know, would be something that I think I could balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What I'm wanting to do while I'm retired as well.
I just
don't want it to become that space where I have buyer's remorse and thinking I've really taken on a lot because I know me, you know, I'm all in. And, you know,
so as you start playing around with it, and I mean, and it's almost like a Pandora's box where you are, because this whole notion of time now starts shifting quite a bit. The ability to have really flexible time, you know, really starts shifting. What would it be? What do you think it could be like, to play a hypothetical, if you had one coaching client?
I think that there's a lot more freedom to do things virtually now. So that part of having to be with the client, like I've always done in the past, isn't as necessary.
Sure.
So I think I could balance and take that virtual with me wherever I go. So there's not the restriction that I really thought I had there.
Yeah.
I think that with depending on that one client, what their mission is, if I can understand how it aligns with my personal mission and desires, that it would allow me to engage and still not feel like it's independent of Sterling, that, you know, I have a way to contribute to whatever that person's trying to do. Good one. I think it could just be a test on how much what I'm going to need to put in place to make sure that I keep my demons at bay, and I leave my cape out of the picture and just help the person that's wearing the cape really do their job.
Yeah.
That's.
So what are some things that you could think of to test the waters of what a workable amount of coaching could be for you? Because you've mentioned, you know, that you want to protect Monday and Friday. So you've opened yourself up for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You've also mentioned 25 to 30% of your week virtual, and someone else's mission aligning with yours. So what are some options you could think of how to kind of, as you said before, kick the tires on the right amount?
I think one of the things, I'm making a note for myself as well, is I need to review my network. To understand, who in my network may have stepped into that kind of a realm, and just to see if there is, I guess what that would do for me is that instead of just going in, trying to find the right place, if I already have someone in my network that's doing something, then I can, at least support or understand that person. And maybe it's not that individual, but it could be somebody in that organization. So my contact, my network's going to know my qualifications and what I can do. They could also be that link to if the organization, that the philanthropy that they're supporting has that need. Then I'm not going in just cold calls.
Sure. Yeah. So one option of leveraging your network of, as you said, finding those right organizations, those right opportunities. What else can you do to explore what's the right amount of time that you can commit to coaching?
I've pretty much haven't kicked up my own participation in philanthropies that I already currently support.
Yeah.
So maybe doing something within those might give me a little bit of an insight of what it looks like. And that's also that it would elevate my empathy component, because if I were working in a philanthropy of some sort and I had an assignment or a client who did the same thing, it's not like might have a good insight to their world, what they're doing, what they're feeling as well.
Absolutely. And again, if it's a philanthropy that you're supporting, as you said before, you're looking to be pretty closely aligned on missions. So then you're helping yourself kind of check that box. What's one more avenue you could pursue again to really be thinking about vetting the amount of time to be committing to coaching?
It might be that that I look at it from my wife and I both participating, because one of the things that I've done my whole career is in many cases she was, you know, the second priority, and we agree that it, you know, that it could be, but I where we are in our own marriage and our own relationship is she's, you know, it could be a way for us to test the water of doing things together that might then that would, instead of taking away from our time together, it could enhance our time together. So maybe it's a co-participation of some sort that yeah. would have.
Really, really interesting. So really starting to dig a little bit deeper here of some of the meaning and really how is this going to be supporting your life in a very different way. If we, you know, had more time, we could really jump in and explore each of these in a little bit more, with a little bit more time in depth. Because we're bumping up on time here, out of our whole conversation, you started off saying you wanted to understand what your starting line was, would be. We've talked a lot about your passion and interest for supporting mission-driven philanthropic organizations. You've started to identify some key options or steps. What's sticking with you from today that'll carry you forward?
I think the importance of connecting my executive coaching with what I've always wanted to do, which is to support philanthropies. You know, it's almost like I got to put up and shut up kind of thing, because I've said it, you know, out loud several times, but I've not done anything with it. And so I need to test this water. This is the one to test first to see what's there.
As you say that, this is the one to test first.
Yeah.
What are you feeling?
That's a great question. It's a release of what could be. No, that's not right. It truly is. It's an opportunity for me not to just withdraw from life altogether. You know, it really is a way for me to contribute to society like I've done up to this point, and that maybe I can continue being a contributor in retirement, maybe not to the level I was when I worked, but at least I'm still a citizen of somebody's well-being, you know. That's cool. That's cool.
I'm just going to put a pin in that one. Being the citizen of someone's well-being. That is really, really powerful. And this piece around you wanting to be a contributor and continuing to be a contributor, tying that mission-driven citizen of someone's well-being.
Those words just came to my head. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I told you, I was ready for today.
I love it. It's fantastic. Anything else that you wanted to share to feel complete for today?
Yeah, this is good. This is really good. Thank you.
You're welcome. You did all the hard work, all the hard thinking, and can't wait to see what organization is lucky enough to have you as a part of their coaching team.
Yeah. I may need to take a retirement siesta. So thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, my friend. It was helpful, very helpful.
Oh, good.
Thank you both. Beautiful session in many ways on many levels. So I want to invite you to just take, let's take a 1 minute to the hour. We can come back at like 3 or 4 minutes after, so we can start at 5 minutes after. See you soon. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Welcome back. Welcome back. So I just want to open up the conversation to Deb to see how you're feeling. And I'll just give a moment for Lisa to come back.
Do you want me to go?
There we go. Okay, so what did you notice about that for you? How are you doing?
I'm super excited for Sterling. Sounds awesome.
True coaching fashion right there.
Yeah, it felt good. And, I was trying to be more aware of my question asking and definitely stumbled a couple places, but tried to truncate some questions. So, I think overall felt good about it. Sterling gave me a lot to work with, so that made my job a lot easier. Mm-hmm.
What did you notice that you did well?
I really stuck with him where he needed to go, because I kind of had like a different thought of where he might go with answering some of my questions. And so just really needed to stay in place with him.
You talked about the trust and safety component, competency of wanting us to listen for that, and also the questions, like keeping it on point and concise. You mentioned there were maybe some areas, but how do you feel you did around that?
I think the trust and safety I feel good about, so hopefully that came through. Normally I'm able to kind of do the confidence in the clearing space and things like that. Right at the outset, I think Sterling, you were so excited to jump in. So I knew that was a little clunky at the beginning, that I kind of went back, but I just, in the name of trust and safety, I wanted to just make sure those pieces were there. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't quite as smooth as I would have liked, but otherwise, I was hoping that I did a good amount of, support, acknowledgement, and still pushing his thinking along the way.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, great. Anything else coming to mind that you want to bring forward about the session?
No, I think that the only thing I'd say is I think that there were a couple things of just kind of from a consultant hat that I was just having to bite my tongue, that I just have some recommendations, Sterling, that I can share with you after, of just some ideas or ways to engage with philanthropic organizations. So I just had to bite my tongue and just let him be and explore. So
nice. Good for you that you did that. Well, I just want to say, specifically trust and safety, I mean, it was all over the session. Like, I'm happy to hear, that you knew, you set up the safety in the container. Like, even after you asked, what do you want to talk about? You brought it in there. You talked about confidentiality, and just made sure that everything was clear before he can jump in, and you honored that. There's just so much support in the session. Listen to the definition, and then I think we'll all nod together. Partners with the client to create a safe, supportive environment that allows the client to share freely, maintains a relationship of mutual respect and trust. I mean, I think that was like the underpinning experience of the whole session, is it was so supportive, and there was a space where you were respecting and honoring his process, where he is, not only in the session, but in life. And bringing that to his attention and celebrating that, acknowledging it, and just matching his energy around that, and just very supportive and respectful. And it was just very clear in, all your questions, in the feeling, in your energy. And yeah, it was beautiful. And it allowed him to have these moments, the space to do what he needed to do and go where he needed to go. So, trust and safety is paramount to coaching, and when we can feel safe, we can feel seen as clients, and that enables us to then let whatever emerge. So very clear, evident, prominent in your session. And you used his words, like reflect a lot of reflecting back of his words, and were very emphatic about the words that he used because he was emphatic about them. And so there was just that nice mirroring and noticing of his energy. And curious, like I felt just such curiosity from you, like you're genuinely curious. It wasn't coming from like I want to know because like it's my personal curiosity, but it was like, what if we were to be curious about that? Like what is that about, you know? And that was evident through your questions that you asked. Like there was some digging, right? Some like depth of questions. So tell me about that. Like where do you want to start? And what does that look like? And you didn't stop there. You just kept unearthing more, you know, what else? And what else, you know, after he shared. And then there was again this form of like, what else about that, you know? So just a lot of space to explore. And, you know, really nice when you ask, are you open to an observation? And let me know what you think when I do share my observation. And so that was really a nice evidence of trust and safety, like sharing something that you're picking up on, but also making sure that you want to know what he thinks about it. Like, it's not about what you think that is more important, but it's about what he thinks and what he's taking away from that. So again, really nice. And well, I'm not going to mention everything that I noticed that was great. There was so much. What's energizing for you for those who don't have the budget? Like just questions that were about you noticing something and just offering it back. What's energizing about that for you? And woof, you know, you could feel like minds explode. And, you know, there's a moment where you asked, at the end of the session, that beautiful moment of, I mean, I'm just fast forwarding it a bit. When Sterling said, citizen of someone's well-being, like I felt almost like the earth move when you said that, you know? I loved how I found myself like, I had like this outward expression of like, wow, you know? And I love how you work that in, like even to pull that out at the end of the session, like you notice something was happening for him and see what's going on for you, or can you say what you're feeling, and that's when that came out. So just the space all the way through to the end, and then highlighting that, like let's put a pin on that one. And I felt like all our pins putting a pin in that one, and so that was really beautiful and just a nice way to support and acknowledge, you know, his own self-discovery. The one thing that I was curious about is how you felt about, you know, we haven't gotten to competency three yet, which is about coaching agreement, but I was curious around like setting the agreement, and you asked like, what do you want to work on? And so also, you know, was there anything around that, that you thought about, you know, in reflecting now on the session?
Yeah, that one, it wasn't as clear as I would have liked it to be. Okay. And so, you know, kind of struggled with that, bounced around it. And I think we were able to come back to it. Really trying to flesh out, you know, what does that starting line look like? So, you know, I think at first, you know, I was interpreting it as, you know, as Sterling, you said, you know, like popcorn of different ideas. And so, you know, was the starting line identifying that it was, you know, working with philanthropic organizations as compared to, you know, Joe Schmo corporate client. And then as we dug into it, there was really a lot more and very differently there. So that's always an area that I need to just be crisper on. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it's something as coaches we're always working on, I believe. I mean, I can speak for myself, but also my experience in being a coach, working with coaches, hearing from other coaches, it's like the agreement piece, you know, and we're going to get into that more when we get to that part, like how to break it down. But it's always important if you're looking at competency number three, like, so what do you want to talk about? And what do you want to accomplish in the session? Like, what do you want to walk away with? And so when we know like the destination, where they want to go, what do you want to get when you leave, you know, that helps inform the questions that we ask, because we have a direction. It keeps us on track. And so that was just something that I was curious about. Were you feeling that at all? Like, do you know where you're headed or what he wants to walk away with? Like, is it, what does that look like at the end of the session? Like, how will you know the session is successful? Well, it's because, you know, I've got my running shoes ready for the starting line, or, you know, just making it up. But just that piece that helps bring clarity for the coach.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to just acknowledge you for going first and for leading a beautiful session. Not leading, but partnering in a beautiful session. Yeah. And thank you for demonstrating that. And yes, your calm, warm nature was very prominent and visible. So thank you. Sterling, I want to pass it over to you. And if you have any acknowledgements and any feedback.
Yeah, I didn't really know where I was going to land, to be honest, coming into the conversation. But I feel like I've got a starting place. And so now when my wife comes home and I just says, well, how's it going? What are you thinking? Because she's really curious about what my next Sterling is going to be. And I think that that this is going to give me something to start with, whether it's how I go and what I do. I had so many things going off in my head that to land on this one, the one that has always given me energy, why would I not entertain that first is where I went. You know, all the others give me energy, but this one just really lights my fire. So I'm going to explore that. And I honestly didn't know going into it, Deb, that's what was going to happen for me. And I truly believe that this conversation did unleash that, help me discover that a little bit more. So I'm just curious now what's going to happen with it. So it wasn't to me just we're together on a phone or on the computer like this. It's truly something that I can go back and do, which is what I was hoping what I would achieve. And I think I have. So thank you. Great. Thank you.
Great.
You're welcome.
And Dania, Lisa, do you want to share what you noticed Deb doing that was great?
Sure, I can jump in. I thought Deb was a great coach and Sterling was a great client. So I thoroughly enjoyed being an audience to that. And your feedback, Julie, was very comprehensive. So I mean, to add to that, I guess, because specifically you asked about the tighter questions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I struggle with that, Deb. And so I think you did a pretty good job with that. But I could hear myself sometimes in your questions, sort of there's a preamble. And then was that preamble necessary? Just what do you want to do now? So I appreciated that reflecting back to me as a reminder. Well, I thought you did an exceptional job. It helped me kind of, I was glancing down at the competency, cultivate trust and safety. I'm looking at all these words of support, empathy, and I'm like, what does this really mean? And I think from your coaching, it was kind of like, you know, I see my client, I get you, you know, and you did that, I think, from the onset, just kind of mirroring his energy and kind of diving into his experience and mirroring back his experience and asking him how it was like to see you experiencing him. So I thought all of that was really beautifully done. And the other thing I think was particularly well done is the balance you had, again, through the lens of cultivating trust and safety, but of sort of deepening the learning, deepening his experience, but forwarding that action. I thought that was quite true how you did that. It wasn't like hit him over the head. It was just taking the energy and saying, great, well, what do you want to do with that? So I thought that was a very good example of that balance and the intertwining of those two things. So thanks for that. It was great.
Thank you very much.
Taking it all in, Deb. You're writing it down. Thank you, Lisa, for those reflections and keen observations. Dania?
Also for me, it was a very great session. And I appreciate excellent question from Deb and very good presence and excellent listening. So it and she challenged Stirling a lot to grow in his thinking, and I think a very good presence in the session.
Thank you for hitting all those points.
Yes, my answer very synthetic. So.
Perfect. You reminded us of all the competencies, you know, and how that you saw them in Deb's coaching. So
yeah, I tried to do this.
Yeah, thank you. So Deb, what are you taking from this experience today?
I really appreciate everyone's feedback and thoughts, and I think overall, and I got the sense last week on Monday, just of a really great group of people to learn with and to be together with, and so definitely coming out here. So I very much appreciate that, and you know, the fact that everyone's like picked up on some slightly different nuances, you know, is really helpful, just to be able to double down on the things that you've identified, and then to continue to be thinking of you know, those areas to be continuing to hone and to tweak. And Lisa, just great to know that I've got a compatriot out there who does a lot of preamble and getting to the question. So it's great to, you know, have those bonds elsewhere. So, but super helpful. I really appreciate it. And for anyone else going into the coaching seat, don't hesitate, just go ahead and do it.
Nice, good testimonial. Is there anything you want to identify, speak out loud, that you'll be, you know, bringing into your next session, coaching session, like having thought about or trying on or tweaking a bit more?
I think, you know, the agreement piece is always there. So there's definitely that. And I think from the trust and safety piece, for clients who I've been working with for a while, I don't specifically continue to mention the confidentiality piece because they know, but I do think it's interesting of being, you know, that much more intentional about trust and safety, just to put it out there more frequently, just as a reminder. And it just is, again, another one of those clicks in their mind of, yep, this is a safe space. It's not going anywhere. Say whatever you need to say.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Thank you. It's not something like, it's easy to not put into words, but it's not, we don't take it for granted, right? When we feel the trust and safety, it's like being cared for, you know, what's that like to be cared for, you know, to know that you have this space to just slip into and everything else could melt away for 45 minutes or 30 minutes, you know? So, okay, great. Thanks for sharing that. As we move towards the end of the class, I just want to remind you for Monday to go over the code of ethics and choose two or three of the points that interest you, that you'd like to talk about, that you have questions about, that have shown up in your own practice, any of those flavors, you can bring those forward and we'll be talking about that. Anne is scheduled to be with you. Hopefully she will be better and be present. If not, it'll be me. So lucky me. But I prefer Anne to be the lucky one. So just for her sake and yours, although, you know, it's good either way, but you know, she loves ethics and she's great at it too. So what's coming up for you now as we move to end? Do you have questions before I hear from you, your takeaways? Do you have any questions or reflections around the coaching or trust and safety?
sort of not to be typical student mode, but just in terms of the assignment, the homework for, I want to be clear. So we just picked two or three spots that we're eager to talk about or ask about, all of us, in order to kind of enrich in the conversation. Is that it? Yeah.
In order to have a conversation, like we want it to come from you. I mean, of course, we will present, but it's better if you get what you need, specifically if there's a need or a question, you know, that'll drive the conversation, then yes.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
Thanks for the question. If there's any questions, anything else? And if not, Deb, are you leaning in to say something or no? Okay.
No.
So I'd just like to share what you're taking away from today.
Well, I definitely have some next steps from my personal perspective. And I thank you, Deb, for that. You helped me grab a piece of popcorn. So now I need to look at it to see what it is I can do. So I appreciate it more than you know. And I'll definitely update you on how it unfolds.
Yeah, please do.
Excellent. Happy for you, Sterling. Power of coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of the willingness to be coached.
Yeah, exactly. They go hand in hand.
Yeah. Thanks for demonstrating that, both of you.
Well, I'll build on Sterling's popcorn analogy. It sometimes feels like as a coach, you are kind of trying to hold on to different piece of popcorn or something, and it helped me today, reminds me of, you know, balancing all those pieces, and you know, you don't always get them all right at right proportion, but it was great to refresh me to say, yeah, don't forget to check in on the confidentiality or reiterate the safe space, or you know, be specific around what they want to get at the end. Those are great tangible reminders for me.
Great. Thank you. And as you speak them out, we remember too, again, you know? So thank you, everyone. We're all learning from each other. Dania?
It's interesting to hear a session, because as a coach, we do a session, but it's... not so usual, listen somebody else. So, we evolve a point that oh my God, my English.
Okay, it's perfect.
So it's interesting, and also refresh all the part of the class agreement, but also the other the competency.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a session we can find all these.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we hear what you're saying.
And I would build on, Dania, what you were mentioning, because it is, you know, so often everything we're doing is we're with people, but we're by ourselves. So being with peers and community is really helpful and enjoyable. And I also just take away from today of just really staying with the client and being curious about their path, not necessarily where I want to go. So it was a good reminder.
Mm. Yeah, like you said, you left the consultant hat over there, which can take a lot of stamina, you know, but beautifully demonstrated. Well, thank you, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you here in community and learn with you and hear you coach and hear your comments and reflections, and I will see you next week, if not Monday, then Wednesday for another practicum, and have a great rest of the week. Great. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao.